Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. On the program this week, we're going to talk to the director of the movie Great American Wheat Harvest. I know most folks in our audience have heard of it, hopefully have seen it, and shared that with family and friends. Well, Conrad Weaver has a new project in the works, and we're going to learn all about it. So, Conrad, first of all, welcome to the program, and good to talk to you again.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
Well, you've got a new documentary in the works called Thirsty Land, and that name right there suggests what it's all about. So tell me, first of all, how you came to this idea for this subject for a new documentary.
Sure. Well, the idea of Thirsty Land is the story of drought and the impact on agriculture. And where this came from was while I was producing the Great American Wheat Harvest, the number one thing I heard talking to farmers and ranchers and harvesters across the country was the need for water and the issues with drought. And so as we explored that, as we talked to people around the country, we became more and more certain that this is a very important topic and that it's something that's going to be increasingly an issue in agriculture, and we decided to tell the story about drought. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've done.
Well, I understand, first of all, that you have been able to move the project along with a new partnership. Tell us about how that came together and who you have assisting you.
Sure. We are working with the Water for Food Institute at the University of Nebraska. And while I was doing my early research for the project, I came across their institute and their work. And they work directly with farmers and scientists who are working to help farmers grow more food or more crops with less water. And that's their whole mission. And so as I explored and kind of looked around their website and kind of figured out who they are, they had a conference in Seattle back last November, I believe it was. And so I ended up going to that conference in Seattle and building a relationship with them. And as I pitched my idea of a film like this to the institute, their leadership was like, you know what, we want to support you. We not only want to help sponsor you, but we want to be a partner in the project. And so last week we made that announcement publicly that Water for Food Institute at UNL is a partner and a sponsor for the project, and we're so excited to work with them.
Yeah, it looks like for the subject matter that you're going to be working on here, you couldn't have a better support base back there to draw on for information. So tell me where you're at right now in this project and what you see coming up or that you still got to work on.
Sure. Well, we're very early in the process. We are in the process of doing two things. One, we're raising money because a project like this requires a lot of travel, requires a lot of high-end production, and that costs money. So we're looking for funders to help us be able to tell this story. And we are actually beginning production. The Institute, the Water for Food Institute, along with the, I always get this messed up, the Agriculture Institute at the University of Nebraska, they both gave us some funds initially to get started. So we are making initial trips to the Midwest and to the West Coast to get started. And actually, on April 13th, we'll be landing in Denver, Colorado, and spending some time in the Central Plains there talking to farmers and ranchers and agronomists and hydrologists and anyone who's involved with water. So we're beginning the filming for this important story. And actually, a couple weeks ago, we actually kind of rolled the first tape, so to speak. We were out in Las Vegas talking with some water experts there, and then we went up into California, the Central Valley, where the impact is pretty severe. And so we're excited to begin working on this project.
Yeah, you kind of answered a question I was going to ask here in terms of the scope of the area you would focus on. I mean, right now, obviously, California is, I hate to say it, a hotbed of drought, but but it is. But we've recently had that be a real problem through the Midwest. And I live down in North Florida, and even North Florida and some of the we certainly are not unfamiliar with drought down here. We're not experiencing that right now. So I guess then you are kind of looking at this in a broad sense, as opposed to just focusing where we are right now, experience the worst challenge with drought.
Right. We are looking at, and really my focus is interesting because Colorado has such a central pivotal role in providing water for a number of states, about 7 or 8 states surrounding Colorado. Colorado's a headwater for many rivers that flow not only into Southern California, but flow into Nebraska and Kansas and states around. And so our focus is, in the Central Plains and in California, and how it's all connected really to Colorado in a way. And so when the snowpack in Colorado is not very healthy, it impacts the Central Plains, it impacts Los Angeles, it impacts California's Central Valley. And obviously, we've been seeing stories on the news about snowpack issues in the Sierra Nevadas there in California, and it's really this morning, in fact, I read a report where the average snowpack is only at 18% of normal. And that is really, really significant for this time of year, especially the farmers in the Central Valley there just 2 weeks ago, actually when we were in California, they got the word that they get zero water allocation from the Central Valley Project for the second year in a row now. And so farmers are just really gasping for air, needing water to grow crops. And it's interestingly enough, they provide food for 20% of the world. And right now, some areas, approximately a third of the farmland in the Central Valley of California, is not being used because farmers can't afford to put water on it.
Right. Yeah, it's, we talk about the way the climate changes and has, changed over time. Just a couple of years ago, we had the severe Midwest drought. Here down where I am at, we were having record historic rainfalls, and just wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow channel all this water up there, and so now it's like, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow transfer all that snow from the Northeast back over to the West Coast,
we had an interview with Pat Mulroy in Las Vegas, and she's the former general manager for the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and very well-known figure in Nevada and especially in Las Vegas, and she's an expert at the Southern Colorado River channel there. And she told me, she said, when we're talking about widespread drought and an extended drought like this, she said we can't take any option off the table. Mm-hmm. She said, we're eventually going to have to look at every available source of water and how we can deliver it to the areas that need it. And having someone of that stature say that, we face some possible scary things. We have huge populations in the desert in the Southwest, and to get water to them is a pretty significant challenge.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just here in the United States, of course. We see
Absolutely.
This happening in other parts of the world, too. So when you look at this as sort of in the plan, not to just show what's happening, but also present some ideas and options for how to deal with this going forward.
Exactly. Right. We're very excited to be working with some people, some very smart people who are working on these challenges and working on solutions. And it's a multifaceted approach, from scientists who are looking at better ways of of growing crops, better crops who are more drought tolerant, so you can grow these crops in drier areas. So you're looking at some really, really good science there that they're working on. And then they're also, looking at how irrigation systems work and better managing the water that farmers are pumping out of the ground. And even to the point where we're actually going to film this out in Nebraska, where they have a drone that they fly over a field and they map the field for the water. And then they take that data and put it into a computer that controls the center pivot. And that center pivot will then release the water only where it's needed and the amount that's needed, kind of depending on what that data shows them. And there's some really significant science and technology and including farmers who are doing some very innovative things to help to be able to use the water that we have to grow the crops that we need.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have a very broad audience interested in this subject that will be even, far beyond just the farmers that are dealing with it on a day-to-day basis with their business. So if somebody would like to support you, tell us how they do that, what kind of ways they can do that, and how to get in touch with you to do so.
Sure. Well, we'll be glad to talk to anybody who is interested in this to help support us. They can contact us and reach out to us and follow our progress a number of ways. One is via Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @ThirstyLandsFilm. They can also get onto our Facebook page, Thirsty Land Movie, on Facebook. And our website is ThirstyLandMovie.com. And coming up in about roughly a month, first part of April, middle of April, we are launching our first major crowdfunding campaign via Indiegogo. And we'll be announcing this here soon, that where anyone can contribute to the project, whether it's $10 or $100 or $1,000, it doesn't matter. Anyone who has an interest in this will be able to contribute to the project and be a partner with us to get this project made. And we do have a really wide audience. Our Twitter followers are growing significantly every day. And from all across the spectrum, from farmers to environmentalists to reporters and people just interested in water. So we're seeing a really wide audience with this, and we feel that it's going to be a significant film that will be presented to a broad audience, and it'll have wide appeal. So we're excited about that.
All right. Well, we will do our part to help spread the word through AgWire.com and its community. Already started on that, I guess, because I know you retweeted me already this morning.
And I appreciate that. Yep.
No problem. Sure. Anything else before we close here?
Sure. If someone wants to contact me directly, I'd be happy to give my information out. You can email me at info@thirstylandmovie.com. That's info@thirstylandmovie.com. And you can reach out to me directly there or just send me a tweet.
Okay.
And we'll be happy to answer any questions people may have. We'll be posting our information of where we're at and posting photos on our Facebook page as we begin the filming process. So watch out for that. Like our Facebook page and follow the progress there. And you can see already some photos that we've taken out in California and other parts of the country.
All right. Well, ramp up your data quota on your hotspot, and we'll look forward to that. So,
absolutely.
Well, that's Conrad Weaver. He has directed the Great American Wheat Harvest, which we were proud to be a sponsor for, and is now launching a new project that is called Thirsty Land, a new documentary. And if you would like, feel free to reach out to Conrad, as he has said, and consider contributing and helping out. So that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.